Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and we're continuing our study today on verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Also turn over to chapter 25 of Proverbs, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. We began looking at this a few weeks ago. A few quotes by John Gill. First of all, Mr. Bridges says, "Oh, that our mouths were under divine discipline." In other words, that everything that we would say would be under divine discipline. Imagine what it would be like not to say anything in error, not to speak a harsh word. Oh, that our mouths were always under divine discipline. And John Gill says of this, that when our speech is with salt and seasoned with grace, and we know how to answer every man, when that which is good proceeds from him, and is to the use of edifying and ministers grace to the hearers, and is acceptable to them. When our speech is seasoned with salt and seasoned with grace. Luther says that a word, the word of a brother pronounced from Holy Scripture in a time of need, carries an inconceivable weight. And the Holy Spirit accompanies it, and by it moves and animates the hearts of the people as their circumstance requires. Matthew Henry says that it is to speak pertinently. Pertinently. A word spoken in due season. To speak pertinently. A word spoken upon wheels that runs well, is well circumstanced in proper time and place, instruction, advice, or comfort. And it's given seasonably and apt expressions adapted to the case of the person spoken to and agreeing with the character of the person speaking. It is when it's given by a wise reprover and then well taken by an obedient ear. Mr. Bridges says that when a word is spoken out of season, what is it for a word to be spoken out of season? Obviously, a moment of irritation is out of season. If you are irritated when you speak, that is out of season. We must wait for the return, says Bridges, of a calmness and reason. And sometimes, indeed, the matter, and he says that the matter just forces its way out. And we just become so irritated, or we become so irritated with the individual, that we just blurt out something and become angry with them. And we think that, all right, I've said what I needed to say. I got that off my chest. But I don't think you're going to find that in Scripture. He says that that explosion sweeps away every prospect of good. And it leaves a revolting impression. If you are the reprover, never commence a reproof with an attack. because that's an enemy's position. And it's going to naturally provoke resistance. The pulpit commentary says, we must consider not only the matter, but the manner of our speech. And this requires a mind at leisure from itself. In other words, to seize a happy opportunity and to refrain, and here's the point, to refrain from introducing a jarring note. To be ready to turn the conversation. And says, admirable and enviable in those that possess this quality, but cultivatable by all who have a gentle heart. You can cultivate it. If you've got a gentle heart, you can cultivate that. How to steer clear of those jarring notes, as it were. Many will say, well, I'm just going to tell the truth, and that's it, and I don't care anything about it. Let the chips fall where they may. They don't think it's important enough to put time and thought into those words that they're going to say. And that's very important, because that is a word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken that proceeds aright, keeps due order, is well circumstanced as to matter, method, time, place, persons. It's a discourse that is well put together. It's properly pronounced. It's roundly delivered. And this is actually the picture there of a word fitly spoken, that it's roundly delivered. To proper persons, it's adapted to their circumstance, and it's seasonably spoken. That is a word fitly spoken. As we think about Proverbs 25:11 that we looked at in conjunction with our verse in 15:23, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Now it's an imagery that you're trying to get in your mind here. A picture of apples or something that is golden, a golden fruit that would be pictured in a pitcher of silver. That would be like, it would be a woven work. Just something that is so beautiful, just absolutely breathtaking to look at. Something that would give the highest possible praise. That's what our words are to be like. Our words are to be like that. So when we speak, do we just rattle off words and we put very little thought into them? Number one, the nature and character of the word fitly spoken. It is a word. It is a word. Here we see an immense value that is set upon a word. Just upon a word. So when you look at this beautiful picture, this imagery of these apples of gold in pitchers of silver, and you see that and you see how brilliant it is and how beautiful it is and the highest praise. So when we think of a word and the immense value of a word that we are going to speak, or words have great weight in them. Now they have great weight to crush. They have great weight to force. And they have great weight of sharpness and to pierce. But they also have great weight of brightness to illuminate, and a beauty to delight and to cheer. So it is a word. The nature and character of the word fitly spoken, it is a word. Secondly, it may be but one word. But one word. We cannot value words by their length, nor the weight of them by their bulk. In other words, have you ever listened to someone that just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks and rarely has anything to say? They just talk endlessly. Well, the length does not add to the beauty of the words or the weight of what they are saying by the bulk of the words. Many words may be worthless, absolutely worthless, while one word is beyond all price if it only be the right word. Just the right word. Have you ever been listening to a message or having a conversation with someone and the person, unbeknownst to himself, will say something in the conversation and that one word just strikes you forcibly? Just one thing that they say, and they may not even be aware of it. And it lodges in your mind. And that conversation ends and you go on about your way, and that word is sticking in your mind. And you think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it, and you meditate upon it. It must be, in the third place, a real word. It must not be mere sound of our lips. But a word is what? A word is an uttered thought. So you're thinking about something, a person asks you a question, and is waiting for the answer. And you are thinking what you're going to say. And you begin to speak. And as you speak, the words that you speak is an uttered thought. What's coming from your mind. What's coming from your mind and from your heart. It's the soul of the idea is the word. And oftentimes when those words have gone out of the mouth, the sound of them can be as a dead thing. Even though it can, just volumes of words, it can be a dead thing. And yet that one word, that real word, which carries great weight and immense value with it, is so precious and so beautiful. In the fourth place, it needs to be an apt word. It needs to be true. It needs to be fit to be uttered by the speaker. It needs to be suitable for the hearer, the one that is going to receive the word. It needs to be adapted to the occasion. It needs to be shaped with point and individual character. A word that will go home and stick. It needs to be a spoken word. A spoken word. There is a world of difference between living speech and written words on paper. Just printed sentences. The printing press is never going to supersede the human voice. In private life, a short word goes much further than a long letter. Michael is in Iraq right now. I'm sure that while Margie wants to get emails or letters from Michael, that's always an encouragement, but nothing is going to take the place of the voice, of the human voice, and those words that are spoken. Isn't it the same way with, and you can carry that even a little further. While you may have the voice and you may be able to converse with one another, does anything take the place of the person themselves being there? Absolutely not. Never. It ought to be wisely spoken. The nature and character of the word fitly spoken, it ought to be wisely spoken. And here too, aptness is needed to find that right moment and to speak in the best manner. Formalism, hardness, coldness of manner can spoil the effect of the most suitable word. You may get all of the right words. You may have them all in your mind. And if it comes forth in a formal way, or with hardness, or with coldness of manner, it's going to spoil the effect regardless how suitable the words are. And I've said this many times, a picture of this would be if a person that says, "I love you." If a person says, "I love you," do you think that the person that is on the receiving end really believes that that person that made that statement loves them? "I love you." I don't think so. But if the person looks the other person in the eye and speaks from the heart and says, "I love you with all my heart," do you think that that person then realizes, while it's the same exact word, but one is spoken in a formal, cold, hard manner, it almost produces the opposite effect? Because it does, the person on the receiving end recognizes that it did not come from the heart, and that they obviously don't mean it. So it ought to be a word that is wisely spoken. So the nature and the character of a word fitly spoken. It is a word. It has immense value to it. It carries great weight with it. It can go in any direction. It can be a word that produces a crushing effect upon someone, while it can, a word fitly spoken can be a word that just lifts the person up. Lifts the person up from a state of depression, lifts the person up from feeling bad, even physically. One that is even physically in pain and discomfort. A word can come to that person and it can actually make them feel better and ease their pain. It is not the length of words. It is not the bulk of words. It is a real word. It is an apt word. One that is true, it's fit, it's suitable, it's adapted to the occasion, it's shaped for the character of the individual, not only that is giving the word, but that is receiving the word. It is a word spoken, far better than that which is written, and it is wisely spoken. This evening, we will begin with the supreme excellence of the word fitly spoken. The supreme excellence of that word fitly spoken. And we're going to look at several in Scripture. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the precious Word of God. We thank You that Your Word is unlike our words. Every word is inspired by You, Lord. It is divinely penned. Thank You, Lord, that there is no mistake, there is no harshness, there is no coldness. Every word is fitly written. Lord, we do pray that You would forgive us, especially of our coldness and our harshness. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to choose our words very carefully, and that we would choose the time and the manner of giving them out, and that we might speak them in an appropriate way to the appropriate situation at hand. And that the words of our lips would be words that are fitly spoken of a divine nature. So Lord, may we think upon these things as we speak, and thanking You for the privilege to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's turn now to Psalm.